coming to you from the Golden One Center. Kyle Draper, Whitey Gleason. I don't know, Kyle. Call me crazy. There's a sense of optimism bubbling through the whole place today.
You feel it, huh?
Yes,
okay.
Yes.
Okay.
First of all, Simone's back, which is great.
Right.
I didn't even know she still worked at the station. So I'm like, hey, that's good. That's a great
you
way to
stop.
That's a great way to start things. And, you know, let's face it, the bar kind of low after the last two games. So the Kings back home, they're going to bring it tonight, right? Because they have to bring it, and they know it.
Yeah, they have to. It was an abysmal trip to Houston. And, you know, the thing I like from listening to you already, we've been on the air 45 seconds.
Yes.
And you're Mr. Sunshine and Rainbows already.
Right.
You're Mr. Optimism.
Yellow
yesterday, we had about 4 hours of what is going on with this squad. Today, they're going to bounce back. We're ready. We got the lights already. Look at this.
Beautiful. Can
just feel it right here.
Yes.
Already inside this building.
Yeah. What do you think might look different tonight? There's a lot of things that could look different. Maybe not. Maybe it's just a matter of, you know what, we get back to who we are, we do what we do. But what do you think might look a little different tonight?
I just think the body language. Let's start right there. You know, I just think, like, what we'll see tonight is these guys actually enjoy playing basketball. We didn't see that two games in Houston. They look like they'd rather be anywhere else but on the basketball court.
Uh-huh.
And so I think tonight they'll get back to, you know what, having fun. Malik is going to be skying. You know, Keegan, his twin brother in town, will be watching them drop 30 tonight. And so I think the joy of basketball will be back with this team tonight.
Great point. I don't know if you noticed, but I've been working on my body language since yesterday.
Chest out a little bit, you know, a little pepping your step. I see it.
I do think whether it's Mike Brown talking to them or them figuring out for themselves, they got to get back to having a sense of joy because they've been playing the last two nights as if the burden of the expectations of this season and the fact that no De'Aaron Fox, we got to find a way to win. It looks like you can almost see it physically. Draining them and physically dragging them down. So tonight, you know what? So what? Let it fly. Go out. Have fun. Play Kings basketball tonight.
Right. And you're right. The weight of expectations maybe have been on their shoulders, but that still doesn't excuse what happened in Houston. I think, you know, being back at home, being back in front of a friendly crowd, a crowd that can energize you, get you going. Let's think, though. They've only played two home games out of their first six. So now you got a three-game homestand, 2-1 minimum. 3-0 is probably what I want to see from this team, but I think it starts tonight. And, you know, this first quarter, the first 5 minutes is going to tell a lot. Because let's be honest, these last few games, even in the Golden State game, the starters haven't been getting it done. The second unit is what brought the Kings back in that Golden State game. And so if I'm Domas, if I'm Harrison, Keegan, Kevin, those guys, you got to come out and make a statement tonight. I thought you should have made one Monday. Obviously, in Houston, you didn't. Great thing about the NBA, you have another opportunity tonight, and it's in front of your home crowd.
Now, I know you have the call tonight.
Yes.
You've been prepping like crazy, so I'm not sure how much you heard Chris Watkins and Allen Stiles. Allen Stiles today, I don't know what's going on. He was talking about, we don't want to stop lighting the beam, but do we need to have the conversation?
You know what? Allen's our guy, but,
yes,
you know,
yes.
He might need to sit this one out. Like, you know, like your mom told you, if you don't have anything nice to say, just don't say anything. Like, you know, I have no idea what he's talking. Like, the fans are clamoring for the beam. We need the beam now more than ever.
Maybe it was like, he's a very bright guy. Maybe it's some kind of reverse psychology or something to set us up for what hopefully will be a very special night of Kings basketball at the Golden One. And let's face it, you really would have a hard time hand-picking a better opponent tonight, a Portland Trailblazers team that comes almost literally limping into Golden One.
No, they're banged up. They're battered and bruised. So many injuries. No Anthony Simons. No Scoot Henderson tonight. And, you know, when you look at this Blazers team, they're the worst offensive team in the NBA. They don't shoot the three. They can't shoot the ball. But what they do very well, offensive rebounding. So you got to watch DeAndre Ayton tonight.
He's had a good year so far.
Yeah. You know, but believe it or not, Whitey, his numbers are down from what they were in Phoenix, which is crazy because the whole notion about him was, you know what, he wanted more touches in Phoenix.
Sure.
His touches are actually down in Portland right now. With that being said, this guy is a walking double-double when he faces us.
Defensively,
that's for
sure. He's off to a really good start.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. And so he's going to be a problem. Shaedon Sharpe dropped 30 against this team last year. Now he's the main guy with Scoot out and with Anthony Simons out. And so they look to him to score. And let's not forget about Jeremy Grant, 27 last game, 26 the game before. He's getting better and better with each game. And so you got to respect the opponent. I will say, with so many injuries to this Portland Trail Blazers squad, their first five, they're going to be good. You got Malcolm Brogdon out there. It's going to be solid. But if you could get it to that bench, that's where I think they'll have an edge tonight. The second unit, the Malik Monks, the Sasha Vezenkovs, like those guys got to step up. Chris Duarte, you got to own that second unit. This should be a game in which the Kings bench outscores the Blazers bench. This got to be a 40 to 18, 50 to 22 kind of night. The bench has to rule tonight.
Mm-hmm. Get into that soft,
you got me fired up already.
Underbelly of the Blazers bench. Domas has to bring it tonight. I think the team without De'Aaron Fox, these guys are all veterans. I know they're not kids. Some of them are kids. But I think they look to Domas, right? It's natural.
Yeah.
Well, no, De'Aaron. Domas is our leader now, and he's looked a little lost, so they need him tonight to set the tone and say, get on my back, guys. And I think one of the ways he's going to have to do that, as we've discussed, he's going to have to pose a real problem for DeAndre Ayton. He's going to have to bring him away from the basket, shoot, and make some mid-range.
I was going to ask you, because that's a key matchup tonight when you look at it, knowing the way Domantas Sabonis plays, can he physically outpower DeAndre Ayton? Or will he have to, like you said, you know what? You're going to have to knock down that 17-footer. You're going to have to knock down maybe a couple of threes tonight. And don't just try to play the power game against DeAndre tonight.
I think you start making the mid-range or the even, you know, three ball, which would be great. And then DeAndre Ayton's got to come out. And then that's when you take it to basket.
Right. You, no, you're 100%
out on
right.
Skates out there on the perimeter.
Right, right. And who knows? Maybe some early foul trouble, too.
Yeah.
You know, this team is severely banged up. No Robert Williams the second or the third also. And so
they're both out.
Yeah.
Second and third.
Second and third. They're not going to be playing tonight. Neither one of them. Right. And so, no, you're right, man. If you could get into this bench, imagine getting DeAndre Ayton in foul trouble. They are severely shorthanded. They got Moses Brown, 7'2", but he weighs like 150 pounds. He's light as he like. Sabonis should be able to own him on the inside. And so this is a statement game. You know what it's a statement game, too, about Whitey? It's not just a statement game for the team. It's a statement game for individuals, if you know what I mean.
I agree.
Keegan Murray has to come out and make a statement tonight. Domantas Sabonis, Davion Mitchell, like individuals need to make their own statements tonight, too.
Yeah, especially because Keegan's facing his brother.
Yeah, he should own that matchup.
First
time. Like, if I'm Chauncey Billups, Chris Murray better play tonight, right?
Yeah.
You got to throw him out there.
He's only played a couple games.
Yeah, he's only played two games. Chris Murray got to see the floor tonight. I mean, you're down like four or five guys. You're playing against your twin brother. Have a heart, Chauncey Billups. Play Chris Murray, please.
You know, I would never say this early in the year, and I'm not going to say it, but this is as close as I would ever come to a game that's not a playoff game to saying it's a must win. It's not, but it's a really important game. The Kings really need to, at the very least, play very, very well tonight. I think it's critically important.
No, I agree. And you know, it's not a must win. You know,
right.
It's way too early to talk about must wins. But it's definitely a must. We got to come away from tonight feeling good, right? We can't come away feeling like we felt the last couple of games. You know, and I do think you have to win this game. It may be ugly. It may not be 130 to 95 or something like that. But somehow, some way, this game, like, I can make the argument that Portland is the worst team in the league right now. With how shorthanded they are, with how well everybody else is playing, I'm talking about the Houstons of the world, the San Antonios. Like, you could argue Portland's the worst team in the Western Conference. And so tonight is a huge game for Sacramento.
At some point, isn't it true? I hate to fall back on this. It seems desperate to do so. But let's face it, at some point, the shots have to start falling, don't they?
No matter
who you are, the shots are going to start going in at some point.
No, that's, you know, like Doc Rivers said, it's a make-miss league, right? You know, you got to make some shots. And if you make shots, then everything you know, all the wards, you know, get cleared up a little bit. You know, what's interesting about the shot-making situation, I'm going to put the bullseye on Keegan Murray and Kevin Huerter. Mm-hmm. Last year, Keegan was a 41% three-point shooter. You round up. Kevin Huerter was a 40% three-point shooter. This year, Keegan, 26%. Kevin Huerter, 24%. Those are your two snipers. Those are your two best outside shooters, and they're not getting it done. And we've talked ad nauseum about the looks they're getting. And so I'm hoping back here in the comfy confines of home, mm-hmm. back here in front of a friendly crowd, a crowd that'll yell, Keegan!
Murray.
Oh, you were late. You were late. Just
no,
left.
That was a dramatic pause.
Oh, all right. Okay.
Dramatic pause. That's all that was. But you're right. It's not good when you have to combine your best shooter's three-point percentages to get to 40.
To get to one. Yeah. To get to what 40%. They did. No, you're 100% right. And so this is a statement game for everybody out here because nobody's been playing great. Nobody should have went to sleep after that Houston game feeling good about the way they played. And so now's your chance to get it back.
You know, I was talking with Jerry Reynolds today, and we were talking about what do you do if you're Mike Brown. And I really think if I were coaching the team, which would be not good, but if I were, the first thing I'd do would be, as we discussed right here at the top, just trying to get them. Look, we have all these things we have to do. You know, we have to do this defensively, this offensively. We've got to worry about this guy. But most importantly tonight, we have to get back to playing basketball.
Yes. Yeah.
Having fun and getting out and playing Kings basketball. It has to start from there because the way we're just trudging along, already beaten with a hangdog look, we ain't going to get anywhere doing that.
No, you're right. And as you were saying that, I'm thinking, and this is not to knock Mike Brown, and I don't think he's doing this, but at times – you can be overcoach a team, you know, and micromanage too much. And so if I'm Mike Brown tonight, let's say you get off to a slow start, I will call a timeout. I will bring the guys together and say, all right, guys, let's just play ball. I don't know if I'm giving guys a quick hook tonight because I don't know psychologically if they need that. They need to experience the joy without looking over their shoulders wondering, uh-oh, if I make
a
mistake.
They got to relax.
They're playing tight right now, and they got to play loose and free, and that's what I'm hoping we're seeing tonight.
This sounds kind of corny, but when Steve Kerr was – when he was the head coach and Mike Brown was the assistant, Steve Kerr talked a lot when the Warriors were a great team about playing with joy, and he felt that was very important for them. And I know some people would kind of roll their eyes, you know, they're professionals, but this, especially the style of offense that the two teams run, you do have to play with a little bit of joy.
Yes.
Or just things bogged down and you can't get anything done.
Yes, that's 100% right. And that's no fun. It's not aesthetically pleasing. It's not fun to play in if you're not executing and doing it right. And that's what was so frustrating about that Houston game. The offense they're supposed to run, it's supposed to be fun. Like, as a player, I would love to play in that offense.
Right.
But what we saw against Houston, guys just standing around, like, you might as well be out there with James Harden then if that's what you're going
to
do.
And think how easy that is to guard.
Yes, yes, yes. And you're letting the defense off the hook. And so I know moving is, you know, at times it's easy to just sit in the corner. But no Harrison Barnes, no Keegan Murray, no Kevin Huerter. Move the ball, move your body tonight.
Okay, so Harrison Barnes is still on the team.
Yeah.
I know
there's a segment of our fan base that wanted him shipped out this offseason, but no, HB is still there. And as a leader of this team, we talk about guys with something to prove. He doesn't need to come out and score 30 points, but he got to shoot more than six times, though. I want him to be impactful in his minutes that he's out there.
Speaking of Mike Brown, Mike Brown uses a word to describe the Kings' early season struggles that most of us would not use, and we'll tell you what that word is next. We'll come right back here to the Golden One Center to Drive, guys. Your Sacramento State Hornets home this Saturday, 2 p.m. kickoff against the Cal Poly Mustangs. Boo! They're terrible. Get your tickets at hornetsports.com, so that should be fun, and we're getting ready to have a lot of fun tonight. Kings back home against the Portland Trail Blazers. Coming to you from the Golden One Center, Kyle Draper, who has the call tonight.
Yes.
And Whitey Gleason. And I do. I have a sense that the Kings, they're just too good a team to have looked as bad as they did the last two nights coming back home against a beaten-up team. I think it's going to be like night and day tonight.
Do you think that, or are you hoping that?
I think it has to be.
Right.
You know, in a way, I'm certainly hoping it. But when I think about it, it's like, man, they have to look a lot better than they did the last two nights.
Right.
The floor is so low.
There's like no alternative, right? You can't get much lower than what we saw the other night.
Right.
And so I just think, you know, and I said it last segment. That's radio talk, right? Segment, not last block. Last segment. Okay, you good with that? You good with that? No, I said it last segment. You know, this what happened Monday in Houston was one of those games, and I know we got back late, but maybe when you wake up the next morning, you look at yourself in the mirror and you say, you know what? What can I do better to help this team? Like, you have to look individually in the mirror and try to figure it out, because this isn't a coaching problem. This is a, like what we saw the other night, guys standing around, trust me, that's not a Mike Brown problem or an offense problem. That's on the players.
Speaking of Mike Brown, after the loss Monday, he talked about the adversity that the Kings face and how he says it's kind of a neat part of the season. Here's Mike Brown.
I got to evaluate some things, you know. So in this business, you always have to have a sense of urgency, but you have to believe in what you do. Whenever you make any type of change or anytime you do this instead of that. And so I know for me, I'm gonna go back and I'm gonna watch the film. And if I feel the same way after the film, then I gotta make sure I keep trying to put five guys out there that are gonna do what we ask, which is to play together and play the right way, while playing fast and bringing a sense of physicality. So the sense of urgency is there. You don't ever want to get too far behind in this league. But the neat part about it, there's a lot of basketball left. And as crazy as it sounds, like I said earlier, we're facing some adversity. And I'm intrigued by it because I want to see how we can handle it. I want to see if we have the mentality and fortitude to be able to handle what's in front of us.
How about that? Yeah, the neat part is we're facing adversity, which they didn't face a lot of last year. So the coach, that's fascinating, as he's anxious to see the way his team responds. And I think we all are.
Yeah, but, you know, the encouraging thing is, and I know last year is last year, but outside of those first four games, they didn't have a single four-game losing streak last year. And so they got off to a slow start, 0-4. After that, no more four-game losing streaks. Tonight, they're in danger of losing four in a row. And so I think historically what we've seen from this team is that they bounce back. They figure it out. And I know no De'Aaron Fox, no Trey Lyles, but you still have enough weapons, enough firepower, enough talent on this team to beat this Portland Trail Blazers team. And so, you know, there is a little adversity, and you're going to face that from time to time, but it's about how you respond. Historically, they've responded the right way. Let's see what happens tonight.
It's also interesting that he mentioned again the importance of playing fast, because we know we talked to Jason Anderson from the B yesterday about the fact that Davion Mitchell had said it's hard to play as fast as they want and still defend at a high level. And he said that's what good teams do, and we have to do it.
Yeah.
But Mike Brown is making sure the players know that we're playing at that speed. You could question whether that's wise when you're not defending well and when you're not making shots, but Mike Brown sees that for them to become anything close to the team that he wants them to become, they're going to have to do that. And I think that's one of the things they're struggling with as a team right now.
Yeah, 100%. And I want to ask you, because as I'm listening to Mike Brown, and I totally understand and get what he's saying, but he's talking about we got to defend, play the right way, physicality, move without the ball. Like, he listed like six things he wants them to do. And so I understand coach is trying to get them to a level of where they're a championship contender. Can they get there, though? What was your reaction as he was listing four or five, six things? Like, I want them to do this, play the right way, defend, physicality, shoot the three. Like, what was your reaction to that?
We talked about it a little bit yesterday. Yeah. It's a lot that they appear to be struggling with just about every aspect of that, at least in the two games against Houston. So you just hope that once one of those things starts going well, it's going to have like a domino effect where, you know, you start getting up and down the floor, better shots go in, then it's easier to defend because then the other team's taking the ball out of the bottom of the basket. So I think that's his hope, pushing. As soon as one of those things starts to come to fruition, I think it's all going to start hopefully falling into place for him. Hopefully we'll see a lot of that tonight.
No, you're right. And with you know, what's interesting about this Kings team, and Mike Brown has alluded to it, once some shots start falling in, we see the defense pick up. We see the energy, the mood, and everything like that. And so, you know, like we said last segment, if shots don't fall, this team's body language, you could feel it. And Mike Brown talked about it the other day. You could see the shoulders slumping a little bit. And so, you know, my hope, and I've been hoping this for Kevin Huerter all preseason, like get three or four or five to go. Keegan Murray tonight, get three or four, you know, early ones to go. And I think you'll see an entirely different Kings team.
I'm wondering if we're going to see anything different offensively. And again, as I said yesterday, if you know, if I see this, if you see this, clearly the coaching staff has seen it. They've already done things about it. But we talked to Matt Barnes about how, you know what, it looks like other teams learned from the way the Warriors defended the Kings in the playoffs last year. And it's harder and harder for the Kings to run the offense through Domas. And you see so much of the offense just stop there, and teams are playing off of him. And then you have guys standing around. So I think the Kings are going to have a response for that tonight. And hopefully that'll produce better shots and more player movement. And then that's the one thing, get the offense going. I think everything else becomes easier. But I do think they're going to have to diversify the offense a little
bit. Yeah, I was wondering about that because, you know, what the Warriors did obviously was very effective. But if Domas takes those shots, does that loosen things up? And so can it be both where Domas has to do a better job and the coaches, maybe you diversify the offense somewhat? And so,
well, that would be kind of not to nitpick. Yeah. I mean, that would be if he starts taking that shot, that's kind of diversifying what they've been doing. That alone could be one of the keys.
But you know how it is in basketball, Whitey. Like when you're an offensive player and a defender takes away your first move, what happens? You got to have a counter. Mm-hmm. So what's the counter to what Golden State did? What's the counter to what we saw from Houston? And so that's where it's on the coaches. Maybe it's on Sabonis too. But, you know, you should be able to, all right, they're doing this.
I agree.
So now let's run this. Mm-hmm. And we didn't see that a whole lot, I think, in Houston those last two games.
Yyah, and it's a lot to ask of a team when De'Aaron Fox isn't playing, but – sorry, it's the NBA, and you got to win games, right, and he's not there, so they're going to have to figure out a way. And again, this is a perfect team against which you can try to do that, although the Blazers are not a bad defensive team. At least they haven't been so far.
Yeah, they're 3-4 on the season. I got their numbers right here. Their defensive rating this season, they're actually a top 10 defensive team, number 9 in defensive rating. And so, you know, where the Kings should have an edge is, you know, the Blazers can't score the ball. They're dead last in offensive rating, dead last in three-point shooting. And so, you know, 105, 110, 150, that should be able to get it done if your defense comes out and plays well. You know, one thing about Sacramento that I would like to see offensively, we're talking so much about Domas and the three. Where's the transition baskets? Where's the easy ones, Whitey? Like, this team, you know, last year would get up and down. Mike Brown wants to play fast. Right now, they're dead last in the NBA when it comes to fast break points at 7.5 per game. Where's the easy buckets? We haven't seen that either.
I know you and I have talked a number of times after games this year where we've looked the next day at their fast break numbers and the points have been low, and also their conversion rate has been low, like 4 of 11 in fast breaks, things like that.
Yeah.
It's like you got to take advantage of those opportunities.
Right. You're getting some opportunities, but you're not finishing. And that has to change as well. And we know De'Aaron Fox helps that out. But, man, I tell you, this team is good enough without De'Aaron Fox. They shouldn't be this bad what we saw the last couple of games.
Coming up on the show today, 3 o'clock, Mark J. Spears is going to join us. The great Mark Spears wrote an excellent piece
Anscape.
Yes, thank you, at Anscape, about the two brothers facing each other for the first time. Also, Kevin Calabro should be joining us later this afternoon. Kevin Calabro is the longtime voice of the Portland Trail Blazers, who was he was actually play-by-play, as you know, for the Seattle Sounders.
Yes, I remember that.
He's seen many, many iterations of the Kings, so it'll be interesting to catch up with Kevin Calabro and Mark J. Spears. When we come right back, how the Kings turned their season around almost 1 year ago to the day. That is next year with the Drive Guys, coming to you from the Golden One Center. Hey, Gleason, Kyle Draper coming to you today from the Golden One Center, where, of course, tonight the Kings take on the Portland Trail Blazers. Real quick football note, Kyle. I know you and I had talked about this, how vitally important it was for the 49ers to get Steve Wilks down on the sideline instead of in the coach's box, in the booth, and he is going to be on the sideline. So 49ers are going to win the rest of their games.
Right.
I think that's
undefeated,
that's it.
Huh?
Yeah.
That's the big difference. Steve Wilks on the field instead of the sidelines. I mean, instead of in the booth. I'm not a football person, so I don't know why that makes such a big deal. Like, is it because it's easier for him to communicate with the guys, I guess? You know, in person, he can gather the groups together. I don't know. We'll see what happens Sunday against Jacksonville. But part of me feels like they're grasping at straws now. You know,
yeah.
Like, oh, we got to do this. Maybe this will work. They're throwing things at a dartboard right now, trying to figure it out.
From what I've never spoken to him, but I know Steve Wilks on the public record has made it pretty clear that he's been up in the booth because that's where he's most comfortable. So
right.
The fact that they're telling him, no, you got to be down on the field, I think a lot of it has got to be appearances. And, you know, the last two guys that were so successful, D'Amico Ryans and Robert Saleh, well, they were on the sideline. So now it's not going well, so you better get your behind on the sideline too. So, you know, maybe they have a couple of good weeks in a row defensively and he can go back up in the booth. But I think it's about appearances.
Yeah. And it shows that they're trying something different, you know. It shows, all right, we're not just going to keep it the same. And so we'll see if it makes, you know – you always say we don't need power rankings, just look at the standings. Well, we'll figure it out. Like, we'll see this Sunday against Jacksonville. You know, does it work or not? And if it does, all right, Steve Wilks, keep your butt down here on the field.
Yeah, I heard Emil on the station today, and Debo practicing today. Trent Williams at practice but kind of doing his own thing. So that's good news. It'd be great if and when Trent Williams is cleared to play this week. That's going to take care of a lot of their issues, but everything trending in the right direction for the 49ers.
Everything's coming up roses for the Niners. All of us.
Look out, Eagles.
Debo back.
Look out, Billy.
Hey, we will see Sunday, man. It's going to be a tough road test at Jacksonville, across the country. Early start for the Niners, and so it'll be fun. It'll be fun.
It's kind of curious to me that the 49ers have lost, three in a row, and so have the Kings now, right? They both lost.
Yeah, why you got to bring up be Debbie Downer, man? Why,
no, it's just that's where we are.
Yeah,
I know a lot of people have said, hey, no big deal, the Kings lost their first four games last year.
Yes.
Well, it's interesting because a year ago, let's see, almost to the day, today's the 8th, right? Last year, on Wednesday, November 9th, that's when the Kings, who had gotten off to a kind of a rough start, they beat Cleveland, and that was the first of a 7-game winning streak that turned their whole season around.
That was it, right? They were 3-6 at that point. They had just lost to the Warriors by 3 at Golden State, and we're wondering, uh-oh, what's going on with this team? And then they beat Cleveland, Lakers, Warriors, Brooklyn, Spurs, Pistons. I could name them all 7. And then things just automatically turned around for this team. What's interesting, they had that 7-game win streak, then they followed it up with 3 losses in a row. Mm-hmm. And so you have these kind of ebbs and flows, you know. What's interesting about this stretch that the Kings are on right now, these are some tough teams coming up.
Right.
You know, you got OKC coming up. You got Cleveland coming up. Then you got Victor Wembanyama. You got the Lakers in L.A. you got to face. And so it's going to be a tough road. But, you know, you pointed it out. This team was struggling. They were 3-6 at this point last season going into, their game against Cleveland. And then, you know, it took off after that. I wonder, when you look at Mike Brown, how much – time does it take him to figure out rotations, figure out his team? Because, you know, it sort of reminds me last year, if you remember, he had KZ Akpala starting games early in the season. Remember that?
Akpala
era? Uh-huh. And so then he finally settled in and got his rotation. And I wonder if we're seeing a little bit of that right now with Chris Duarte, Kobe Jones. You know, in a week or two, maybe he has his 9 guys, and this is who we're rolling out with.
It's got to be difficult right now, and I know we're trying, you know, to be more positive today because yesterday was our day for negativity, but it's got to be hard to figure out your rotation if you're Mike Brown when you have so many guys that, frankly, right now are not playing especially well.
Right.
Like, what do I have here? I know this guy's better than that. That guy's not playing well. That guy's not playing well. So it's tough to figure out.
And you know, he's had to do that out of necessity too, right? It's not like he's just tinkering or anything like that. Guys aren't getting it done. Guys aren't playing well. And so he's searching right now. He's like, all right, you know, this guy's not getting it done. Let me put in Kobe Jones. Let me put in Chris. So he's trying different combinations and matchups because guys just aren't – playing well right now. And so we'll see how long that lasts. But, you know, hopefully tomorrow we won't be talking about this. Hopefully tomorrow we'll be talking about a great Kings win, and this team will be off and running like they were a season ago.
Going back to the 7-game winning streak the Kings had that started a year ago tomorrow, they really started to flex their offensive muscle about that time. Would they beat Cleveland? They scored 127. They had a 153 win against Brooklyn in that streak.
Ooh, yeah. That was that nationally televised
over San Antonio.
Game, yeah.
Yeah, so they really started to show there. Let's see. Then they lost a few, and then they had 137 against Indiana. I do think my point is this. I still think I understand why Mike Brown is stressing defense, because he knows better than anybody how important that is for them to become a legitimate contender. But I still think this team, basically right now, their identity is offensive. I think that's what this team does best when they're playing their best. And I think they need to get back to that, which is hard right now without De'Aaron Fox. But I think that has to be the first step for them.
Yeah, I agree. Their identity, you know, we talk about lack of identity and everything. They're an offensive team.
That,
we know who they are.
Yeah.
Like, trying to make them into the Pistons bad boys or the Knicks of the 90s or something like that defensively, that's not the way to go. But when you look at this roster compared to last year, and I've said it before, I think it's an improved roster. But is it improved offensively? Like, a guy like Terrence Davis, he had his limitations, but boy, could he get hot, you know? How many times did we see TD with the heat check?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you mentioned that game against the Nets when they dropped 150-plus. TD, if I'm correct, had 32 in that game. And so can we see Chris Duarte doing that, you know?
That's a good point.
You know, it's and so if the team is offensively as great as it was last season, but you don't necessarily have the same personnel. Like, that's why Sasha has to get going. You know, he's a guy that can hit six threes in a game and get hot quickly, and we haven't seen that so far. And so I also wonder, when you look at this Kings team, their shot selection, like, they pass up so many shots, I feel like, too. Like, especially Keegan. Mike Brown's gotten on him. Like, last year, I don't remember guys passing up as many shots. Like, we know Terrence Davis wasn't passing up shots. Shoot, Chimezie Metu would come in and try and get him up, too, and try to get buckets. And so I want to see guys, Chris Duarte, get in his bag a little bit, get up some shots. I want to see Kevin Huerter get up more shots. Keegan, get up. Stop passing up shots. You know, they always say good shot for great shot. But Mike Brown also says let it fly.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like right now, especially these last few games, they're sort of gun-shy a little bit. They're scared to pull it.
I'm going to present the other side of that for you.
Ooh,
and I'm
okay.
not disagreeing with you, but there's another side that I've heard.
Yeah.
I don't know where the truth is. Last year, Keegan, he was he didn't take many bad shots. He took shots that he was comfortable
right.
with, and he shot, obviously, made a record number of threes. This year, with Mike Brown saying, let it fly, let it fly. You will never come out of the game for taking a shot, but you may for not taking
right.
a shot. Maybe there are some shots that Keegan feels like, I wouldn't normally take that, but I got to shoot this. And maybe that's one of the things that's disrupting the offense. I don't know. It's something that I've heard suggested and something I'll be watching closely tonight.
You know, but here's the thing about it. And, you know, to that point that you just brought up, I would rather Keegan take too many shots than too few, especially early on. Let's say he comes out and starts jacking them up, takes 20 shots. I said it the other day. Then you can dial him back. All right, Keegan, I know you feel like you got it. You know, now let's look for better shots. You know, I'd rather a guy want to shoot too much than pass up, and you got to motivate him. Shoot the ball, shoot the – because then at times you're playing 5-on-4. And I'm not saying that's what's happening with Keegan Murray or anything like that. But for this team to get to where they want to go, and why do you know this, he has to be – the third guy every single night, at least, at worst, the third guy. Some nights the second, some nights even number one. And so he can't pass up shots, because if Mike Brown's not going to get on you, if the coaching staff's not going to get mad at you, that's what, you know, the players aren't either.
Yeah, another thing you like to see when your team is down, one of your stars, is you like to see different guys. Like, one night so-and-so picks it up, another night another guy has a big night. Right now, and I think you just made this point a moment ago, you know, they had Terrence Davis last year. This year so far anyway, there aren't a lot of guys on the roster that you'd think, so-and-so is going to go for 20 tonight. You know, you don't have a ton of those guys.
Right.
To the point you made.
And I've made that point several times. Like, when you look at the Miami Heat and the runs that they've had, you know, I go back 5-6 years ago, you know, they had 6-7 guys like Duncan Robinson could hit you. You know, we saw Gabe Vincent could
Max
hit you.
Strus.
Max Strus could hit you for 20. And that's the hallmark of a great team, a good team. And right now the Kings are searching for guys outside of De'Aaron Fox that could actually do that.
When we come back after knocking off the Kings, Dylan Brooks, somebody's favorite player.
Yeah, my guy.
Dylan Brooks now has set his sights on the King himself. That's next. We come back to the Golden One Center to drive guys on Sacktown Sports. Back to the Golden One Center. Wes Gleason and Kyle Draper. Big day for Kyle, of course. Once again, you got the call, huh?
Man.
Sports California.
Hey, that's what your boy does, man.
I know.
It's not surprising. This is how it should be.
Yeah. You do it virtually every game so far, right?
Yeah. I think I missed one. I got Friday's game I'm doing also. I'll miss
Monday. And that's a tournament game.
Yeah, that's a tournament game, right? Yeah. That'll be a big one, right? You know, with the new court and everything. And so I'm going to treat it like a playoff game. You know, it's the in-season tournament. So
yeah. I'm just looking here. You caught me in the middle of a scattering report.
Ooh.
This was a scattering report for players now in the NBA. This was a scattering report on him right before the draft. What would you think of this guy, okay? This is, again, right before he was drafted. Strengths. Athletic scoring wing, enjoying breakout season. Downhill slasher, pressures the rim. Capable shot creator. Active rebounder, tough and competitive. Active hands on defense. Areas to improve, concerned. Streaky shooter, shot selection, must get stronger. Tendency to play too fast. What do you think of that guy?
No, somebody.
It's Keon Ellis.
Somebody I'd like on my team.
Yeah.
Exactly. No, somebody I'd like on my team.
Yeah, that's
somebody with some potential.
I hope he gets, a little bit of a run tonight, at least a chance to show that what we saw Monday was not a total fluke. And you made a great point when we were talking about Keon Ellis. You know, what he did was great, but it was not against the Rockets' first unit. So,
As
well as he played and he can guard people and the way the team's struggling, I don't know. I'll be interested to see if he gets a chance tonight.
Yeah, if not now, when, though, right? You know, it's like he's coming off a solid game. The team is struggling. It's just so hard to crack a rotation, for a guy like that. And because you look at the guards that he's behind, the Malik Monks of the world, the Kevin Herters of the world, De'Aaron Fox, obviously. And then, you know, if you put him in over, let's say, a guy like Davion, let's say you take away some of Davion's minutes, I mean, what use is Davion then? I mean, it's a delicate balance. And so I do think, you know, it's sort of like, you know, a coach. You can be a great assistant coach, but when you got to slide over a couple of seats
right,
and sit in the chair, well, the same thing, you know, being, you know, the third string point guard or whatever. When you're going against other third stringers, but when you slide over and you got to go against first stringers,
right,
it becomes a lot difficult. And so – maybe we will see him. It'll be interesting to see which tactic Mike Brown takes, because I brought it up earlier. If you're Mike Brown, do you give quick hooks? Like, do you pull guys quickly, or do you, try to get them to relax and not worry about it? And so if he goes with the quick substitutions, we could see Keon very early in this game.
Don't you think a lot of that might hinge on, you know, he'll have his plan going in, but then if by chance everything Portland throws in the general direction of the rim is going in and you're off to a slow start, you have to make some changes. If that, you know, worst case scenario, if you fall behind, you're going to have to start pulling people.
Yeah, I think so. And, you know,
but hopefully you won't.
Yeah, hopefully you won't. But one thing Keon gives you too, he's a competitor. I do like his competitiveness. He'll get after you defensively. He'll pick up some fouls, you know, which I like. You know, it's not silly fouls, or it's competitive fouls. And so, you know, you may have to turn to him tonight if things go sideways early.
I'm not kidding. One point, and I think this wasn't what I thought it was, but at one point I thought he gave Dylan Brooks maybe just a little bit of a push, but I don't – it might not even have been – I think he was
you
just
were hoping
like,
it was,
you know,
right.
How sometimes you're like you're moving and your arm like you actually bump somebody.
Yeah.
Because we needed to see more of that from the Kings. And, you know, we talked to Matt Barnes, and And, you know, the old heads are just furious.
Furious.
The Kings did not respond over two games in any way, shape, or form to any of that.
Yeah, you know, and it's personal pride, right? I mean, I mentioned it. You know, I'm playing hoops at Folsom Lifetime. And, you know, I'm getting into, you know, a little shouting.
Low-bridging people?
Yeah. No, well, I don't know about all that. But, you know, I'm committing a couple of hard fouls. I'm sending a message. And if I could do that, come on, fellas. Dylan Brooks
I'll
is talking
trash.
Oh, yeah. They stopped inviting me, actually. I'm not allowed back there. I'm joking. I might go there this Sunday, as a matter of fact. But, no, it comes down to maybe not everybody on the team can do that, but shouldn't you have at least one guy who says, nah, we're not letting that happen?
Gotta have at least one
at
guy.
At least one guy.
A lot
right?
of people, maybe you're one of them, has said Trey Lyles could be that guy. By the way, you know when President Obama played basketball, he had a court to the White House?
Yeah.
And there was somebody, a Secret Service guy or somebody, caught him in the face one
yeah,
time.
Yeah, I heard about that. Yeah.
That guy wasn't ever invited back.
He wasn't invited.
Or he's like, I'm so sorry. Yeah, it's okay. You're fine. You're fine. Never invited
back. Hey, he got that story to tell the rest of his life. You know, that would be me. That would probably I would be barred from the White House.
Your boy Dylan Brooks is getting ready to take on LeBron.
Yeah.
Dylan Brooks says, quote, ready to lock him up.
Ooh.
He's shooting the ball well. He's been playing well. So I'm just there to make him tired, make him get into that fourth quarter early. And, you know, that's, I don't know, arguably one of the reasons that the Grizzlies decided to move on from him, because Dylan Brooks did have a lot of things to say about LeBron in the playoffs, and things didn't go well for Dylan Brooks and the Grizzlies in that series against the Lakers.
Yeah, and he's poking the bear a little bit, but, you know, it's sort of like whatever gets you going, whatever floats your boat. You know, remember Lance Stephenson used to try and get under LeBron's skin, and, you know, that didn't work out too well. I don't mind that, you know. Long as it's respectful, like Dylan Brooks, I mean, like what he did last year, I don't respect guys who don't give me 40 or something like that. You know, he's never given, like, come on, bro, you know. And so we'll see tonight. Is it? Yeah, tonight they play each other.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll see what happens. But I don't mind that from a competitive standpoint. And if he was on my team, I wouldn't mind that at all. The problem is now you got to go and back it up. If you're going to do all the talking, I'm okay with it. Now you got to back it up, Dylan Brooks.
Dylan Brooks said of LeBron, I feel like he controls the media. I feel like a lot of guys, you know, have these podcasts and love social media, but I don't really like it. I don't really like media. If I didn't have to talk to you guys, I wouldn't talk to you guys. And, you know, I just block it out and just play basketball.
Wow. That's my guy. I like that, actually. You know, it's and he's taking shots at LeBron. There are a lot of players now with me. Draymond Green. You know, oh, after
great,
the game, he's doing a podcast.
A lot of them are really good.
Yeah, like,
really
yeah, like,
good.
Exactly.
Like Matt Barnes, yeah.
He's, you know, Dylan's all about his basketball, though. He's all about putting in the work and playing ball. You know, and he plays with that edge, but he has to do that for himself, Whitey.
I like, know he
that's
has
his
to
thing.
Play
that that's his, yeah, exactly. And if you take that away from him, he doesn't become the player that he is.
Isn't he the guy who in college when Oregon played Duke? Didn't Krzyzewski go to him
yes,
on the court and say,
yes.
you're too good to act like
right,
that?
Yes.
And was furious
yes.
like, that's not your player.
Right,
you can't
exactly.
say that.
Yes, that, yeah. I do believe so. Yeah,
yeah.
You got good memory, man.
And then, yeah, and then he agrees to, I mean, bless him, 4 years, $80 million with the Houston
yes.
Rockets, where he's playing really well so far.
I'll tell you what, the Memphis Grizzlies could use Dylan Brooks right about now with their, what, 1-6 starter, something like that. And so he's been perfect for Houston, man. He's been exactly what that team needed, because obviously he's a veteran, a guy that's been – but he plays with heart. And that Houston team needed some heart. And, you know, you could argue what we saw down there in Houston, this Kings team needs to show a little more heart.
Yeah, I don't even think you could – it's obvious, you know. It's not even a debate. It's like, yeah, they definitely needed to.
Right.
But they were just so – demoralized.
Yes, yes.
That's so, what we have to see an improvement in tonight.
Yeah, I wonder how much credit do we give Houston, because they played hard, physical, took Kings out of it. You know, I don't think we'll see that with this Portland team. I don't think they're as physical. And so, but if I'm a Kings fan, what would concern me is it shouldn't be about the opponent. Like, Denver doesn't get out of whack or out of sorts no matter who they face. Boston, same way. Like, the best teams, no matter who they take on, Golden State, they still play their style of basketball. It's still very identifiable. with the Kings, they got taken out of everything. They were unrecognizable. That's concerning to me.
Yep, the greatest teams of all time play their game, and they don't match up to you.
Right.
You have
you
to match up
figure
to
them
us.
Out. Yes.
And that's where Mike Brown wants his team. He wants them to get to that point. And so far they haven't been, but that's one of the reasons I'm so excited about tonight. We all saw it. We all saw how poorly they played. And being back home, they saw it. And I just think we're going to see the opposite tonight. If they have any ounce of professional pride, and we know they do, I mean, I just think we're going to see the opposite tonight.
I hope so. I hope so. And I need to see it early on, too. I don't need a close game and then in the fourth, all of a sudden you pull it out. Sure, that's great, but that's not sending a statement, a message. The message needs to be sent in the first quarter for Sacramento.
Mark J. Spears wrote a great piece today about Keegan versus Chris for the first time, and he joins us to break it down when we come right back to the Golden One Center. It's Draper and Gleason, Drive Guys on Sactown Sports.